Good evening, everybody. It's 8:30, and welcome to the Fear the Walking Dead on the Line viewing party on Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. We have not been together for Fear since September 30th of 2018, and the last Walking Dead show we've done was March 31st, 2019, so it's good to be back. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and nobody with me tonight yet, but I'm sure there will be soon. Tonight's show is made possible by our sponsor, NDB Media. Nobody's in the chat room yet. We actually are having a technical problem with the chat room. So Joan or any of our other regulars that tend to show up, if you can hear me but you're not able to get in the chat room and let me know that, it's not you, it's me. I'm sorry. Refreshing and trying to get that going as soon as possible. So, tonight's show may contain spoilers up through the last episode and information from any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to the season opener, episode 1 of season 5. Season 5 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season with 8 episodes running until July 21st. We don't yet know when episode 9 will resume the season, but our best guess, counting back from the first Sunday in October, makes August 11th a likely candidate. We will keep our listeners informed when we get confirmation of the exact dates. Typically, we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime between 8:30 and 9 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time. You're welcome to call during the show, but you will be screened and muted until the commercial breaks when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that on our Facebook page and on my Twitter, so feel free to share those. There'll be a different link every week. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. Okay, and I'm going to give the phone number one more time because we're having chat room barf. Joan or anybody else who's listening, if you want to let me know that you're trying to connect, call me 914-338-0314. And I will try to keep an eye on the board and on the chat room and see if it gets straightened out anytime soon. So far, it's not looking good, but I'm going to keep going. Okie dokie. Episode 1 is called Here to Help. The official AMC synopsis says, led by Morgan and Alicia, the group lands in uncharted territory in search of survivors to help. But everything is not as it seems in this foreboding new land. There is an official AMC synopsis of season 5 overall. Heading into fifth season of Fear the Walking Dead, the group's mission is clear. Locate survivors and help make what's left of the world a slightly better place. With dogged determination, Morgan Jones leads the group with a philosophy rooted in benevolence, community, and hope. Each character believes that helping others will allow them to make up for the wrongs of their past, but trust won't be easily earned. Their mission of helping others will be put to the ultimate test when our group finds themselves in uncharted territory, one which will force them to face not just their past, but also their fears. It is only through facing those fears that the group will discover an entirely new way to live, one that will leave them forever changed. Additionally, just for reference, we will learn in the opening scene tonight, and this is in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler. Season 5 takes place approximately 4 months after the events in the season 4 finale, which is playing now. an additional synopsis, as we often do. I have a couple for you. The first one is from Newsweek, which is not a source that we use that often, but they've had several posts. And this is Fear the Walking Dead Season 5 premiere spoilers. They're not, it does kind of contain pseudo spoilers, but not real bad ones. New characters in episode 1 plot. They're spoilers only if you would consider it a spoiler to look at anything that's been teased about tonight's show. So this is by Christopher Grux, G-R-O-U-X, and this was written yesterday, and this is from Newsweek.com. So Christopher has to say, Fear the Walking Dead returns June 2nd, and we've all got the hot spoilers you're looking for, courtesy of the latest report from a certain website that I'm not going to mention. It's noted for giving us spoilers early, and I tend not to use their stuff that much, but Newsweek interviewed them or something. In a recent forum post, the group details the new characters and essential plot details revealed in episode 1. Again, these things are available if you hunt around, and AMC has not sued anybody or quashed them. And some of them were in the Comic-Con trailer. The premiere begins with two fresh faces, Max and Dylan, hunting a deer. They kill the animal, but the noise alerts a nearby walker. Just before the pair is about to meet an unfortunate fate, a plane smashes through the trees and crashes to the ground. Alicia appears from the smoke of the rubble, and she saves the two boys from the zombie threat. Using the Z word, Newsweek? How edgy. Beyond that, we learn episode 1 takes place about 4 months after the season 4 finale. I'm going to pause real quick and see how we're doing with the chat room shenanigans. Let me give this a shot real quick. I tried refreshing the page and see if that was any help at all. And it kind of sadly appears not. But all right, we're going to keep plugging on. So let me go back to the article. All right, there are, of course, other major plot developments worth looking forward to. In investigating the plane crash, Althea discovers a major detail that might offer a clue about the helicopter people that removed Rick Grimes from the main series. Now that gets interesting because, first off, it is absolutely not a spoiler or a secret that Dwight is joining the show, and it's probably going to begin in tonight's episode. And this is probably not going to be the last tie-over. They seem to be drawing them into one big thing, especially now that Rick has spun off and may be doing these separate movies, and the other show kind of seems like it's beginning to wind down. Okay, I know they have contracts until season 13. At least that is the news that has been out there. And if I hear differently, I'll let you all know. So it offers a clue about the helicopter people that remove Rick from the main series. So maybe that may end up being the catalyst that brings people together, is in pursuit of that plot line. And it may lead to Rick's movie. This is my speculation. It's not in the Newsweek article. And while many of Althea's recorded tapes remain a mystery for now, attention is paid to one titled Skidmark. Many insiders feel this tape is relevant to the continued story of Daniel Salazar. And given other pieces of leaked information, again, with the this is on promo materials, if you look hard enough, not exactly a proper spoiler, it does have something to do with Daniel. For the most part, though, episode 1 is about establishing arcs for new characters instead of fleshing out previous ones. And I'm actually glad to hear that, because we've fleshed out the crew we have now fairly well, except for a couple of characters. Viewers won't see Daniel or Dwight in the premiere. I find that strange. They've been teasing the trailers as if we will. So maybe, you know, in the first couple episodes, we'll see. And Madison is also nowhere to be found. I do need to let you guys know there are rumors. I'll get back to this in a bit. But there are rumors that there have been characters killed before, and we whined that it was too soon or we don't want them to go. But I really feel like Kim Dickens losing Madison really honestly was plotus interruptus. And there wasn't a reason for it. We did not see her die. It was an incomplete death. There is every excuse in the book to say that she might make it and pop up again, But they went ahead and let Kim go from the show. And so that tells you that the character's gone. But there have been rumblings about her coming back, and some of them seem to have some traction. So there was a photograph that was going around on Reddit that had her slogan, "No one's really gone till they're gone." And I don't have context for the photograph. I'm assuming it appears in season 5 at some point. Instead, we'll meet survivors like Max and Dylan, the two kids, Annie, Grace, and Logan. And in trivia, I will have some explanations for these characters. Grace has some relationship to studies of radioactive walkers. That note I don't have in trivia, so that's good to know. Logan, played by Matt Frewer, is established as the dubious leader of the Denim Factory. We also learn that he's the partner of Clayton. It's misspelled here. He's the partner of Clayton, the truck driver Luciana tried to save at the end of last season. So we know how this is coming together. Again, these are not properly spoilers, but some of you may want to go to the bathroom for a couple of minutes and bypass this chit-chat. Speaking of Luciana, she's the only character to get seriously hurt at the scene of the crash. She's taken away on a stretcher, and that is available in a trailer photograph, a still. So again, not a secret. This is all we know about the season 5 premiere of The Walking Dead. Okay, so there is that. Double checking on the chat again. Still seeming to have problems. Joan, I'm really sorry. I imagine that you were desperately trying to get hooked up here. And if the chat room is not working on the main board, it doesn't work on the page, on the link that you guys clicked to come in. I'm going to give it another refresh. All right. The refresh doesn't seem to have done anything. I'm really sorry, guys. So it may just be me talking to myself, but that's okay. I can deal with that. Let me pull up the other synopsis for you guys, because that was the end of that one. And this one is from undeadwalking.com. This is a source that we frequently use. And they probably will have a little bit fewer pseudo borderline spoilers for those of you who are real particular about that. So you can come back from the bathroom or the snack room now and join me, even though I can't talk to anybody at the moment. So Fear the Walking Dead 501 synopsis, Here to Help, by Sarah Beth Pollock, one of the regular writers about this show. This was written 3 days ago. So synopsis, I've read you the official synopsis, so we'll skip that part. Fear the Walking Dead is back, and the name of the game in season 5 is helping people. But what happens when people don't want to help? Well, we've had a whole big season 4 about that, but that's Martha. The group is following Morgan's vision to go out and help people, but they're also looking to Alicia to provide guidance as well as she keeps her mother's memory alive. There's no question that given the circumstances, Madison would be out trying to help people, and so Alicia has taken up the torch and will move forward to honor her mother. With so many threats out there, the stakes are higher than ever, but that won't keep Morgan and the group from pushing forward. Skip down a little bit. Obviously, the two phrases that stand out in the official synopsis are uncharted territory and foreboding new land. As far as we know, the group was still in Texas or somewhere thereabout at the end of season 4. Now, they were flirting with going towards like Mississippi, Alabama, and all that bit, but then turned around. Though only a short time has passed, they've had a chance to traverse portions of the South and look for people who need help, and it sounds like they might have hit a few snags. The season 5 trailer featured a plane, nuclear walkers, and a whole lot of new people. And there's a whole new world of possibilities ahead, but just because the future looks bright at the moment doesn't mean there aren't a few rain clouds in the way. After all, this is the Walking Dead universe. And that is all they have to say about that promo. So we'll go down to the next part, which is trivia on the writers and directors. So tonight's episode, as often happens with the season opener and mid-season or season closer, is often directed by certain particular people. Directed tonight by Michael Satrazemis, Satro, and written by showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg. And we've profiled these guys all before, in fact, quite a bit, just recently in, well, recently as far as being the last episodes of this show. So I will read you what we had last time, and I've updated it to reflect this episode tonight and anything going on since then. So, Satro, Michael Satrazemis, already profiled, Michael Edison Satrazemis, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, The Crow, the movie, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. He has done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf, directed an episode of Stranger Things, and more. Michael has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2, in 2010. He's been second unit director of photography for three episodes until 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 2017, ending with Monsters, Season 8, Episode 3. He's directed 14 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14. Wait, I have a great wave for that. Let me pull that up. I have to give you that one because it's a lot of fun. Here we go.
Look at the flowers.
I rarely get to use that one, so I had to pull it up. Okay. So, yes, that was that one. Look at the flowers, Lizzie. And up to Season 8, Episode 14, still going to mean something. His last Walking Dead work for this before was directing four prior episodes of Season 4 of Fear, the last one being Season 4, Episode 16, I Lose Myself, the season finale for Season 4. He's also slated to direct the Season 5 mid-season finale, Episode 8, Is Anybody Out There? And Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg are the co-showrunners since Season 4 beginning. Ian Goldberg has been co-executive producer and showrunner with Andrew since the start of Season 4. We have profiled him extensively previously. Goldberg also worked on Once Upon a Time as a writer and producer, as well as other TV shows. He has previously written or co-written five episodes of Fear, being Season 4, Episode 1, What's Your Story?, Episode 2, Another Day in the Diamond, Episode 8, Mid-Season Finale, No One's Gone, Episode 13, Blackjack, and Season Finale, Episode 16, I Lose Myself. Tonight will be his sixth episode he has written for the franchise. Andrew Chambliss is the co-showrunner for Fear since Season 4 opened. He also has been profiled multiple times before. Chambliss has been heavily involved as a producer for Once Upon a Time for several seasons from 2012 to 2017. He has been a story editor for Vampire Diaries, Spartacus, Dollhouse. Pardon me a moment. My mail client is interrupting my script. Super rude. I'm trying to read things to my audience. How rude. Okay, so Andrew has been a story editor for Vampire Diaries, Spartacus, Dollhouse, and Bionic Woman 2007. Chambliss has written or co-written five prior episodes of Fear, season opener 1, What's Your Story?, episode 2, Another Day in the Diamond, mid-season finale 8, No One's Gone, episode 11, The Code, and episode 16, I Lose Myself. Tonight will also be his sixth written episode for the franchise. We'll get into trivia in just a hot second. I need to tend to something on the board, so I'm going to give you guys a little fun stuff to listen to for just a moment, if you don't mind. I'll be right back. Okay, I appreciate your patience. We are now going to get into trivia about tonight's episode. What I know, we've got about 10 minutes. It's 8:50. So tonight's episode will be the 54th episode of Fear Overall. It is the first appearance of Grace, who is a new main character played by actress Karen David, an Indo-Canadian actress known for work on Once Upon a Time and other shows. It's first appearance of Logan, who is a survivor played by Matt Frewer, known for Max Headroom, The Stand, Lawnmower Man, and many other shows. Matt is also, incidentally, from Washington, D.C. First appearance of Max, Dylan's brother, a survivor played by Ethan Suess, S-U-E-S-S. First appearance of Dylan, Max's brother, a survivor played by Cooper Dodson. First appearance of Annie, who is a survivor played by Bailey Gavulik. Dylan is portrayed by Cooper Dodson, who is the younger brother of Major Dodson, who portrayed Sam Anderson in the main show. Weirdly, both of their characters were introduced in the fifth seasons of their respective shows. This also makes him the second character portrayed by a younger sibling of a previous cast member after Henry. Last episode trivia for episode 16. Last appearance of Martha, the antagonist, in season 4. The episode name refers to Morgan Jones telling Althea why he left Virginia. Quote, I lose people and then I lose myself. It is also written on Morgan's forehead by Martha after the car accident. Alexandria is mentioned by name while the kingdom and Shiva are directly referenced through Morgan, though Morgan skirts the issue when Al asks if Shiva is still around, which is interesting. I kind of missed that before. It kind of implies that Al may have video of the kingdom and Shiva, something like that, Ezekiel. The hilltop and possibly the sanctuary are also indirectly referenced. Martha calls for Morgan to meet her at Mile Marker 54, which is where her husband Hank died in a flashback in Mile Marker 54. At the Mile Marker, Hank and Martha's car is still seen crashed through the guardrail, and Morgan finds Martha at Hank's grave. Martha also gives Morgan a more complete explanation of what happened to her husband. Morgan's journey with an injured leg to save his friends mirrors his journey from Alexandria in What's Your Story, with similar scenes being used to depict the journey itself. All right, goofs, errors, bloopers from previous episode. After Al takes out the walkers, the group is devastated because the bullets caused all of the ethanol to leak out of the truck. However, all they had to do was bring the container over to the holes and fill it with the spilling ethanol. Both Luciana and Strand were close enough, especially given the size of the tanker. When Morgan leaves the police car, he walks off without his backpack, but in the next scene, he's once again wearing it. When Morgan stabs the undead Martha in the head, as he pulls his weapon out and she falls, her eyes remain trained on Morgan the whole time, even though she falls to the side. Her eyes should be facing straight ahead the entire time as she was put down and could no longer focus on him. I think that's a little bit nitpicky. I actually don't know the biology of how eyes behave when people die. And so, you know, I'm not sure anybody brought receipts for that criticism, but I put it out there anyway, since it was mentioned. Alrighty, gonna check. Can't really check the chat room. Joan, if you're listening valiantly along but can't really come in and talk to me, I really appreciate that because I'm flying completely blind. So cast birthdays, not just this week. We have not had any Walking Dead shows since March 31st. So we're going to wish a happy birthday to the cast and crew whose birthdays I have from April and May, and then get current with the June birthdays. Okay, so it's 8:54 and we have a big list. I want to try to get this done before the top of the hour, but we can also chit-chat in between the commercials with other stuff. So April birthdays. Alexa Helen Nicholas, who played Haley, a Woodbury guard, April 4th. She's from Chicago. R. Keith Harris, who played Dr. Harlan Carson, Hilltop Doc that the Savior stole, also April 4th. I don't have a town for him. Lauren Ridloff, Teruel. I don't understand the name construction. It's been too long since I've seen her name. I'll have to go back and look and see what that is. Maybe it's a main name or a stage name versus real name. I don't remember. But she plays Connie, the deaf woman in Magna's group. April 6th, also from Chicago. Michael Rooker, who plays Merle, April 6th, and he's from Jasper, Alabama. Benedict Samuel, who plays Owen, the leader of the Wolves, April 15th. He's from Hamilton, Victoria, Australia. Brandon Fobbs, who is Terry, one of Michonne's pets, April 19th. He's from Washington, D.C. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan. His birthday was April 22nd. He is from Seattle, Washington. Anne Mahoney, who is Olivia from Alexandria, April 24th from Rochester, New York. Austin Nichols, who plays Spencer, April 24th from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jordan Woods Robinson, Eric Raleigh, Alexandria, Aaron's boyfriend, April 24th, Bybee, Tennessee, B-Y-B-E-E, Tennessee. Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale, April 25th from Buffalo, New York. And Austin Emilio Dwight, who will be on tonight. I've been corrected. Not necessarily tonight, but one of the first few episodes. We will see Dwight join the plot. April 27th, he is from Austin, Texas. We'll do May birthdays in a second. Let's give some applause to the April babies. Okay, let's get to the May babies. Chris Coy, who played Martin in Terminus, May 1st, Louisville, Kentucky. Max and Lentz, Young Henry, May 2nd, Fargo, Georgia. Christopher Barry, who played Bud, Savior who steals the truck for Negan. May 3rd, year unknown, he's from Texas. Zachary Brendan McGowan, who played Justin, Savior Slacker in The Bridge. May 5th, he's from New York City. Dallas Mark Roberts, who played Milton, Woodbury Doctor. May 10th, Houston, Texas. Madison Porter Lentz, who played Sophia, May 11th, Atlanta, Georgia. Samantha Jane Morton, who plays Alpha, head of the Whisperers, May 13th. She's from Clifton, Nottingham, England. Alexandra Alex Breckenridge played Jesse in Alexandria, May 15th. She is from Darien, Connecticut. We have 2 minutes left. I will try to get these. Carrie Payton, King Ezekiel, May 16th, Augusta, Georgia. Sunkrish Bala, Dr. Caleb Subramanian, Prison Season 4. May 21st, Mumbai, Maharashtra, India. Matthew Matt Lentz, older Henry, May 23rd, Fargo, Georgia. It's interesting that Madison is from Atlanta, and then I guess they moved to Fargo, and everyone's born in May, so May, April, March, February, January, December, November, October, September. So I'm not sure what Mr. and Mrs. Lentz are often up to in the fall. Just kind of having a little fun with you guys. All right, I'm going to go ahead and finish this off. Melissa Suzanne McBride, who plays Carol, May 23rd, Lexington, Kentucky. We will get the June birthdays when we come back from the commercial break. I'm going to let you guys go for now, and I'll see you at the first break. Thanks. Okay, guys, it's 9:05. I'm unable to see anybody in the chat room, so I guess I'll be scoring this bad boy by myself. Nobody to disagree with me. The opener, honestly, I'm going to give just a 5.5 for now. It's not that it's bad. It's just that I don't really find it overwhelming or compelling in any sort of way that it stands out over any other parts of the season. But it's the season opener. I don't expect this to be the tone that it takes for very long. Okay, so let me get back to birthdays while I have a hot minute to do that. So June birthdays, now we're a little caught up. Yesterday, Sarah Wayne Callies, who played Lori June 1st, she is from LaGrange, Illinois, although from a very young age was raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. Madison Janice, I don't know how to say her last name, Lisle, L-E-I-S-L-E. I apologize, Madison. I will try to find out how to say your name. Played Jamie in the Walking Dead webisodes, Torn Apart. Her birthday is June 2nd, and she's from the United States, but I don't know where. Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene, his birthday will be June 4th this week. He is from Phoenix, Arizona. And Robin Lord Taylor, who played Sam, not Sam Anderson, but season 4, episode 5, or season 4 and season 5, Sam and Anna in Terminus. June 4th, he is from Shoeyville, Iowa. So let's give some more applause to all of the birthdays that we had in between March and now. Thank everybody for your work on the show. Always appreciate it. Okay, quick conversation about unaccounted for characters. There are slight edits taking into consideration things I've seen on the web that have updated a couple of things. So I did have on the notes Daniel Salazar is unaccounted for. He is coming off this list as he returns to the show. It won't be tonight, but it will be soon. So sometime the first couple episodes. Taka, Kel Taka Walker, and Lee Crazy Dog, Proctor John, and Diana, and possibly Tracy Otto, because I'm not letting go of Emma Caulfield, damn it. Also, we still have no idea how the miniseries Passage connected to season 3 or 4 or anything at all, and we didn't have a miniseries for this tonight. If we do, maybe after the Red Machete, they've given up on that mechanic, and that's really a shame. I realize probably there's a 99% chance that nobody from AMC ever listens to my show, but if you guys are listening, the mechanic of having those one-minute vignettes after every episode was super cool. Putting them together as one giant 15, 16-minute thing, and then having the survivor of that be integrated into the next season was really a good thing. That was really working for me. And I'm super sad that Red Machete was a hot mess, and I'm super more sad that you guys pretty much took that criticism and quit doing it altogether. So for what it's worth, bring that back and do it properly. Thank you. Okay. So here's a quote about a few other missing characters. It does incorporate some people I've already mentioned. Oh, we are already back, so I'm going to shut the hell up. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:18 and we're at the second break, and I've managed to locate Joan in Facebook chat, so let's go ahead and get her commentary on that. She's going up to 6.5, and I agree with her. I'm going to do the same. I don't have a chat window to log that in, so I'll just letting you guys know. Let's see if she has any other comments. She did say earlier that she does agree with me on the prior scoring of 5.5 for the first segment. I definitely think this segment had more action, more plot devices happening and going off. I think it was kind of interesting and some new stuff that we hadn't really seen before. Joan had said the reason for her scoring is she thinks they were a little overconfident in their ability to fly that plane. Obviously, some time had passed since the end of season 4. They seem to have the system more advanced. Joan, you may have missed the trivia that I mentioned earlier that I happened to find out that approximately the beginning of this season takes place about 4 months from the events of episode 16 ending last season, for perspective. So that may give you some ideas of what's going on. I did not get any information about how they magically have a plane all of a sudden or where in the hell they have landed. So I'm as much in the dark as Althea is, but that's fine. Okay, let me go back to my notes and see what I can get to you guys. We were talking about missing characters, and I was about to read you a comment from digitalspy.com. And this is something I read to you guys previously, but it's been a while since we've talked about fear. It's actually been since last September, so certainly I'll read it again because most of you probably haven't heard this in quite a long time. So they said in the article, in the past timeline, we've also been introduced to Diamond Residence Cole, played by Sebastian Sazi, Viv Rhoda Griffiths, and Douglas Kenneth Wayne Bradley, as well as members of the Vultures, Mel Kevin Zegers, Charlie Alexa Nissenson, and Ennis Evan Gamble. But Mel and Ennis have both been killed off. There's still a potential for past characters to come back, such as Native American enemies, turn allies, Kalataka, Michael Gray Eyes, and crazy dog Justin Rain. They were last seen in finale leaving the dam just before the Proctor struck. Yeah, so those are major characters that were not wrapped up who could reappear. Now, my understanding is they went into the Pacific Northwest. But after these guys all seem to magically end up in Austin and catch up with each other running up and down between Austin and Mississippi or whatever, yeah, they're taking a little bit of liberties with the convenient geography and all of that hot mess. But anyhow, also, there had been a lot of promotional material saying Troy Otto was going to be brought back, and mostly it was that the guys doing the show liked the actor's work. But I frankly was very enrolled that Madison killed him, even though we didn't see him get buried, but I was pretty sure that she beat his brain into a pulp. And I don't know how the hell he would survive that to be plot relevant unless it was a backstory. But speaking to this, the prior promos, I'm happy to hear that the rumors of Troy Otto's return are now debunked. Those plans have been canceled, and I'm thrilled because it was way too much deus ex machina for them to have survived clear killing blows and being left to bleed out from brain damage. Finding everyone all the way from the ranch to Diamond Stadium and Madison's death, something that new rumors have come up saying they may retcon now, and to Austin, Texas, with no contact for an entire season of them being there. Just no. It's forced and unneeded. And it looks like we are back, so I'll shut up about that, and we'll talk again at the fourth break.